So I'm going to go ahead and finish up our message on casting out demons. I don't really see hardly any. Do we have any visitors here that hadn't been here before? Do I see? I don't think I see anybody. Everybody, I think, is our regular people. And so this will be my third message on this. And so I'm just going to skip over the very part because I want to get to the last part. How do you cast out demons? And let's get busy doing it, right? Okay, so we talked about that, you know, because Brother Jerry said that he felt like the theme for this year was for us to be supernatural Christians, not just natural Christians. A supernatural Christian is one that can do things that a natural person can't do because God does it through them. And so our jumping off scripture is, and Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized, this is Mark 16:15, is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken these things to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So this is our job as believers, is to go forth and preach the gospel, to speak with tongues, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick and they recover, all these things, and the Lord does the work. See, that's what makes us a supernatural person. We preach the word of God and he does the miracles. We can't do miracles, see, but he will do them through us if we're preaching his word and not our word. Now, in the book of Luke, he adds a little bit to this last part right here. He said, Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so they did. They went to. Now, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he was on earth for 40 more days. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he showed himself to 500 people. And then when he had this group out here that he was talking to and giving them this commission that they're everyone go and preach. We know there was at least 120 standing here because there was 120 that did what he told them, went to the upper room and waited for the Holy Spirit. There may have been a lot more than 120, but we know there were at least 120. So this does away with the lie that some preachers preach that only the 12 apostles can speak in tongues and do miracles. Y'all heard that told, said? See, Paul wasn't even one of the 12 disciples, but yet he worked miracles and spoke in tongues, he said, more than all of them. And he wasn't even one of the ones standing here. He wasn't even saved at that time. So I'm just telling you, do not believe anything you hear from the pulpit unless you see it in the Word of God. Because there are a lot of lies being preached in the pulpit. You realize that. A lot of lies being preached. And a lot of lies being preached on TV. And the only way you're going to know if it's a lie is if you know the Bible. And so you don't believe anything you hear anybody preach if you don't go and see it in your Bible yourself. Because if not, you'll be deceived. And the Bible says that when you don't obey the Word of God, you deceive yourself. See? So it's so important to know the Word of God and obey the words of Jesus. Because when we obey the words of Jesus, that's our highest level of protection from the enemy. And it's also the highest form of love. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. Now, people say, well, what about Peter and Paul and John and all them? All they did was preach what Jesus told them to preach. They didn't come up with any new doctrine. They didn't write the Word of God. They didn't live the Word of God. I mean, they didn't change the Word of God. They preached what Jesus told them to preach. So if you just want to get the pure truth, you go to Jesus. And then if you want to see how to walk it out in your life, then you study the other men of God who went forth preaching it, see, and how that they fought the enemy and won. Because they use the Word of God. So the one reason there are so many different denominations and so many different versions of truth is because people pick scriptures all out of the Bible and just build doctrines around them. And see, if you just believe what Jesus said and obey what Jesus said, you're always right. If you believe Jesus and you do what Jesus said, you're always right. And then you study the other people in the Bible to see how. Because see, they made a lot of mistakes. You remember when Peter was eating with Gentiles which was strictly forbidden to the Jewish people because they were so highly prejudiced. When Paul was, he invited Peter and them to come down, and Peter and them came down, and they wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And Paul just got all over them and told them they were prejudiced and sinning, because they were. Peter, he corrected Peter for being prejudiced. That was pretty bold, wasn't it? So all of the men that preached the gospel and about were humans like us, and they made mistakes like us. There's only one that never made a mistake, and that was Jesus. And there was only one that everything he said and did was right, and that was Jesus. So if you want to get your belief system right, you go to Jesus and you study the life of Jesus and you do everything Jesus said do, and you will be safe. You will be safe. You know, people argue with me all the time about, well, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be saved. Well, no, you don't. But the reason I'm filled with the Holy Spirit is because Jesus said, go and wait for the gift from your Father. So if I obey Jesus, that's my highest form of protection and my highest form of love. See? So you don't care how your family believed. You don't care how your church believes. You care what Jesus believed. Families are wrong. Churches can be wrong. But Jesus is always right. You ever heard it preached that women are not supposed to preach? See, where did Jesus say that? They get that from a scripture where Paul was dealing with the church that was run by Jezebel, women's. And he was dealing with those Jezebel women. But you never heard Jesus say that women weren't supposed to preach. In fact, in this scripture right here, when he was talking to these at least 120, probably more, he said, you go and you preach the gospel. You speak with tongues. You cast out demons. There was probably children in this group too. See, men, women, and children. So make sure you get your doctrine from Jesus, okay? And you're always safe. And you don't have to go around scratching your head. Well, I don't know what to believe. This one believes it, and this one believes this. You don't have to do that if you go straight to Jesus and you do what he said do. Be what he said be. All right. So Jesus told us to cast out demons, right? So do you believe we're supposed to cast out demons? All right. Okay. I'm going to skip through this because we've talked about nearly all of this several times. A demon, there are three different words for it. There's demons, there's devils, and there's Satan. Demons mean to slander and tell lies. Every day the demons slander you and they lie to you. Every single day. Every time they tell you you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills, they're lying to you. Every time they tell you you're sick and something's wrong with you, they're lying to you. Every time they come to you and tell you somebody, you know, all this stuff, they just lie to you all day long to keep you in the flesh and keep you stirred up. And we have authority over those demons. The word devil is the word accuser, always accusing us to God and to each other. The word Satan means adversary, one who is always opposing or fighting. He tried his best to fight God and lost. So he just takes out all his vengeance on us now, fights us every single day. All right. In Matthew 8, it said, when the evening was come, they brought many to Jesus that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Now, that's really what we're going to jump off on today. How do we cast out spirits? Now, remember we talked about that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. That means they live in your spirit and they control you. But a Christian can be demon oppressed or vexed, which means that they torment our body and they torment our mind, our thinking. They try to make us afraid, give us a spirit of fear. They try to make us depressed. They try to make us angry. They try to make us want to fuss and fight all the time. They try to make us believe people don't like us, be inferior, you know, all these different things. See, I believe that demonic spirits are assigned to us at birth, just like angels are. See, Jesus said, you better not mistreat a young one because their angels are always in the face of the Father, going back and forth, watching over you. Well, at the same way God assigns angels to a child every time it's born, we all have guardian angels, the Bible says. And they are the ministers of God that carry out the word of God. But I believe that Satan attacks demon spirits to every child that's born. And so some children are just born sick all the time for no reason. Some children are just born angry. Some children are born just rejected, especially if their parents divorced early and one of them left them. Some children are just born mentally sick, depression, all that kind of stuff. And see, that's an assignment of the enemy again. And so what we do is, as parents, when we see these spirits trying to attack our children and vex them, we have the authority and the power to stop it. Jesus gave us the power and authority, and we talked about a long time, last time I was here, the difference in power and authority, and when Jesus gave it to us, and he said, I give you a power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing can hurt you. That's one of the greatest things Jesus said to us. Is the devil hurting you? Is he trying to make you sick? Is he stealing your money? Is he trying to destroy your marriage? Is he hurting you? He don't have the power to do it. You have authority over him, and you can put a stop to it. And see, the word cast out in Greek is literally to cast away or out. So when we cast demons out of us, we're casting them away from us. Do you understand? It don't mean that we're demon-possessed and they're living in our spirit. We talked about this a long time. So every day we should be casting demons away from us, demons of fear. I had this horrible nightmare the other night, and I woke up. First thing I said was, God, you didn't give me the spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And I command the spirit of fear to leave me in the name of Jesus. And I had to do that for about 3 hours before that spirit left. See, the Bible says when you resist the devil, he will have to flee. But it don't say how long you're going to have to resist. See? But you are going to have to resist it until it leaves. If you quit resisting, it's not going to leave. See, the way the devil sets up a stronghold in our life is he brings this one little fear thought to you. And if you let that thought of fear stay in your head and you think about it and float around, another one comes and starts building a stronghold, like a nest of snakes. You ever seen a nest of snakes where a whole bunch of snakes get together and they just pile up? Have you ever seen one of those? It's scary looking thing. And that's what happens. It's going on in you when you let those thoughts stay. And they just start like a pile of snakes just crawling around in your head. And first it's fear over your money, and then it's fear over your health, and then it's fear over your children, and then it's fear over you can't get out of your car without afraid you're going to be in a car wreck. It's just another fear and another fear until it sets up a stronghold. And see, the way you stop it is you don't let that first thought stay. That first thought of fear comes to you and says, I'm going to steal all your money. Then if right out of your mouth comes, Satan, you don't have the authority. I pay my tithes. Jesus said he rebukes you. You can't steal from me because I pay my tithes. The Bible says he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing so much I can't even receive it. He said men are going to give to me, pressed down, shaken together, and run over. And you just start quoting all the scriptures on finding, and see, that thought can't stay. You resist it with the word of God. Or the devil comes to you and he tries to make you depressed. And see, depression is sad and lonely thoughts. So you get this sad thought. The sad thought comes to you and says, you're going to be alone all your life. You're never going to be happy. Your husband, your wife are never going to make you happy. You're just going to be unhappy all your life. Well, see, you let that thought just roll around in your head, and here comes another one. And here comes another one. And here, and all of a sudden, there's a nest of snakes in your thinking. See, the Bible says cast down every thought. The way you do warfare is you cast down every thought that don't line up. So when a spirit of depression is sad and hopeless thoughts, this thought comes to you, you know, my life is just never going to get better. See, immediately you shoot it down with, the major thought of hopelessness is, I can't do anything about this. Well, see, your first word out of your mouth, and you have to speak it out of your mouth to cast the demon out. You have to speak it out of your mouth. Jesus said, with your words you're justified, and with your words you're condemned. The word condemned means judged. You have to speak it. Just like you have to speak your salvation, you must believe in your heart and speak with your mouth to be saved. The way you cast out a demon is with your mouth, using the word of God. And so if a thought of depression comes and says, well, I just can't change this, you know. You say, well, I can't change this, but God can. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with him. I remember right after my mother passed away and that spirit of depression was really trying to take me over, I remember those thoughts would come of all that went on in the hospital and everything, and these thoughts would come with, your life will never be the same, and you'll never be. And I would have to take every thought and I would say, devil, you're not going to tell me what to think. You're not going to choose what I think. And I would immediately in my mind go to a place that I loved. I'd go to the beach, on the white beach with the blue water, and go fishing. I would, because see, it's a proven fact you can't think about two things at one time. That's a proven medical fact. So you're either going to be thinking what the thoughts the devil's putting in your head and letting him build a stronghold of snakes, or you're going to think the Word of God, which will pull down those thoughts. One thing that's really fun to do when depression is trying to fight you is to think of the funniest things in your life that have ever happened and start laughing, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want me to tell you some of them I think about? My husband can make me laugh more than anybody. We were fishing in Florida one summer, and we caught this shark. It's about
this long.
And we had this little boat, and it's like two surfboards with seats on it and a motor. And we fish out in the ocean. It's called a Craig Cat. We love our little boat. We can fish all day long on $6 worth of gas. And you can't turn it over, so we can fish out in the ocean, and it won't turn over. So we were fishing, and he catches this shark, little sand shark. And so we pull it up on the boat, and we let it lay there until it dies. And then we wrap it up and put it in our basket that keeps the fish. So when we get back to the camp, we get out. He's standing there in the water about calf deep, tying the boat up. And I get the shark out of the net. And I notice that when you punch on it like this, its teeth just shoot out. It looked like it had 100 teeth. I know you shoot straight. So I walk up behind him. And I said, look, Terrell, the shark is still alive. And I punched his mouth and grabbed him on the back of the leg. And he jumped out of the water onto the bank. And I just almost laid down in the water. I laughed and I laughed for days. I laughed every time I thought about him jumping out of that water. And this is my funniest of all the stories on him. This is my funniest. We were taking our kids on a cruise, and so we stopped at Walmart. I wanted to buy a video camera. And so we go back there in the video camera, and I'm picking out the one I want. And my husband did construction most of his life and worked out in the sun, and he has to really, he's had probably 30 skin cancers taken off his face. So he has this cream when he gets up in the morning, he puts it on his face, and he puts it on real thick and then lets it, you know, soak in. So we get to this Walmart, and we're in there, and I look up, and he's got these cakes of cream. I said, you need to go in the bathroom and wash your face. All your cream didn't soak in. So I get my camera, and I'm going up there, and I'm standing in line to check out. And I'm in the line where, you know, you just buy a few things. There are probably five people behind me and all the aisles. And he walks up to me, and I'm looking down in my buggy, and I'm getting my stuff up, and he starts talking, and he said, and I look up at him, and I just die laughing. I guess he had went to the bathroom and got paper towels to wash it, and he had little white fuzz balls all over his face, like these hundreds of white fuzz balls, like a cat. And I couldn't quit laughing. And I was looking, I just laughing and laughing, laughing. And he said, "You're embarrassing me. What is so?" I could not talk. He just had all these little fuzzy white balls all in his beard. So finally, he just gets mad at me and leaves and goes out to the car. And for the whole time, every time I think about it, I still can't hardly talk about that. I just laugh. And so when you have all these things in your life you can laugh about, and the devil starts trying to bring sad and hopeless thoughts, you know, you can stop it. You can stop it. You have the power and the authority to think what you want to think. His funniest story on me is we were fishing in Florida one summer, and we had pulled up to the boat dock, and he went to get the car, and I was sitting on the boat. And I had sat out on the boat dock and put my feet on the boat, and I was waiting on him to back the car up. So these two kids pulled up on jet skis, and they wanted to know all about our boat, where we got it, you know, how much it costs and all this. So I was just talking to them. So I stand up, and I reach over to get something, and I go to sit back down, and the boat has moved. So when I go down in the water, I go down with hands and feet up in the air. And I sunk so fast, and it was so deep, I couldn't touch the bottom. And so I couldn't get a breath. So here I am trying to swim and come up, and I'm hitting the boat on this side and hitting the boat dock on this side. I finally get up and get a breath and go right back down. And I can't get my feet under me, and I can't get my arms working. I come back up and get a breath, and I heard this kid holler, "Somebody go save that woman. She's drowning." And I go down again. Finally, the third time I came up, I grabbed the boat. And they laughed. And those two little kids, they were trying hard not to laugh. About that time, Jerry Dell walks up, and he's laying on the ground laughing. He didn't even try to save me. Didn't he try to rescue me? just laying up there laughing his head off, you know? And so you can decide what you're going to think. And if you've been married very long, you have some really funny stories on your mate, right? Or somebody you work with. Or on your kids. John would tell me a funny one on Cricket. I'll save that one for next week. Oh, man, I've got some good ones on Cricket. I'll tell you my favorite one. When Cricket was in about the seventh grade, you know, we have a Christian school at Camden. The year, I wasn't the principal that year. We had another guy as principal. He led all these kids in school that were just absolute juvenile delinquents. They'd all been kicked out of school at Bearden, and they were in, the principal led them into our school. And bullies, oh my goodness, they had spent their life just beating up other kids and bullying. And so they come to our little Christian school with all good little Christian kids, and they just have a heyday. They bully those kids and threaten those kids, lock them out of the classroom, all this kind of stuff. So one day, the kids all went to chapel, which they were going, the church is where we had church and chapel. They go up to chapel. So Mr. Dory and some of the teachers came across school, and they had locked the door to the church and wouldn't let the teachers in. And so they wouldn't let them in. They missed the, I don't know how long it was. But I think what happened was they left out the front door and went home, skipped school. And finally the teachers got in. But they threatened all those kids that if they told who did that, but they wouldn't live another day. And these boys were the kind that would try to carry out their thing. So when the teachers got in, they went to, who did this? Those kids were scared to death. They would not tell on them. So Cricket tells on them. And then didn't come to school for a week. Oh, we still kid him about that one. He was brave enough to tell on him, but he wasn't brave enough to come back to school and face him. All right, so we're talking about casting out demons. All right, so we went through all these scriptures. Let's see. In Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against all the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness. That's the four levels of demonic power here on earth. Now, I heard this preacher preaching on TV one time, and he said he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. He didn't speak in tongues. And he said, nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to fight the devil. And I always talk to my TV and radio, and I said, we must not read the same Bible. And so it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. So we are going to wrestle these demons. And I'm glad it says wrestle, because it don't say we're going to be defeated by them. Don't say we're going to be run off scared by them. We're not going to be hurt by them. We're going to wrestle them jokers out. We are going to cast them out. We're going to win. We have the power and the authority Jesus gave us, the power and the authority to win. So when the spirit of depression comes to you and starts giving you sad and lonely thoughts, what are you going to do? You're going to say, I'm not going to think like that, devil. I have so many good things that have already happened to me, and these are the good things that are going to happen to me. And then you start telling him all the places you're going to go and all the things that you're going to do. And if you're single, tell him about the person you're going to marry. And fill your mind with the promises of God, the word of God, which will make them leap. Okay, it says, put on the whole armor of God, and you will be able, the word able in Greek is the word dunamo, power. That power. To withstand in the evil day. When is the evil day? Every time the devil comes after you. Every time evil comes after you, it's an evil day. But it's not an evil day to you, because you are going to not only believe and stand on the word of God, but you're going to cast away from you that demon that's trying to take you down. All right, now we talked about, we went through all these lists of things of how the devil gets an entrance into us to torment, vex us, and oppress us. It said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, so every time we're sick, it's the devil oppressing us. And we don't have to do anything for the devil to oppress us. Because Jesus, every day, the devil attacked him, and Jesus never sinned. See? So we don't have, in fact, it says in the book of Revelations that the ones who go after, that ones the devil are going after, are the ones who are keeping the commandments of God. So the more holy you live, the more the devil's going to come after you. But then, if you got sin in your life, he's going to come after you there, too. So the fact that the devil's fighting you don't tell whether you're sinning or not sinning. See? But if you do have sin in your life, all you have to do is repent, ask Jesus to forgive you, the blood will wash it away, and then you cast that thing out. See? In 2 Corinthians it says that if you forgive them, I forgive them. At least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. See, anytime you don't forgive somebody, you got a wide open door to the devil to come in and torment you. So if you just look in your life and there's people you're mad at and don't forgive, Satan can just walk in and torment you all he wants. And you can't cast him out until you forgive that person. You cannot cast that spirit out of your life until you forgive that person. In Ephesians 4, it says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and do not give a place to the devil. So if you're angry and you haven't asked God to forgive you, you can't cast that spirit of anger out of you. See, and the first place we learn to cast out demons is ourselves. We don't try it on other people until we're successful on casting away from us. See, that's where we start. All right, it says in 1 Timothy 3, don't be a young believer. Don't be lifted up into leadership as a young believer, or you'll fall into the pride of the devil. So if you're a young believer and you haven't been saved very long, don't start pushing to do something and be something in church. You go learn the Word of God so you can be mature. Because if you do try to be a leader when you're young in the Lord and don't know the Word, the devil will get you in pride. And the door's wide open. Come in, destroy you. You know, when the devil came, when Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Well, see, when it didn't say that it was God's will for Satan to sift him. A lot of people say that, but the Bible don't say that. Jesus just knew the devil was going to. And you know how he knew the devil was going to? Very next thing was Peter said to Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll die with you. What door was open in Peter's life? Pride, deception, lying. See, when we got all those doors open, the devil just comes in and he can just torment us all he wants to. We have to get those doors shut. Then we cast out the demons. All right. Okay. I went over these before. I'm just kind of hitting them. We did the resist the devil and he will flee. All right. Now then let's talk about how we're going to cast them out. Okay. It says, no one can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he will spoil his goods. Mark 3 says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. Mark 16 says, and Jesus said, I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this church I will build my rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Matthew 18 says, if your brother sin against you, go to him. And you know, then you take somebody else, then you go to the church, and if he neglects to hear you, he's a heathen, and said, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the way you get rid of a demon is you bind it and you cast it out. And the way you bind it and cast it out is with the Word of God and your mouth. Jesus said, by your words you're justified or made righteous, and by your words you're condemned or judged as guilty. So as soon as you recognize that a demonic spirit is vexing you or harassing you or oppressing you, maybe it's fear, maybe it's oppression, depression, maybe it's poverty, stealing your money, maybe it's strife in your house. I'm telling you, when the door of strife is opened in your house, the Bible says every evil demon can come in your house. Strife is one of the worst things you can do to open the door to the enemy. So as soon as you realize that it's there, then you have the authority in the name of Jesus. You say, I bind you and I command you to leave me by the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus. And then what will happen is if you've got a door open where that thing's coming in, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your memory. He will say, you remember when you yelled at your wife last week? And you didn't go back and ask her to forgive you? And the devil will say, nee, 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 nee. I don't have to do nothing. You tell me. Because see, when we're in rebellion to God, Satan don't submit to us. Satan only has to submit to us when we submit to God. So the first thing we got to do is repent for the sin, shut the door, and then cast the demon out. Bind him and cast him out. All right, let's say it's a spirit of infirmity, sickness. And you prayed and you cast that thing out. I bind you, you demonic spirit. You cannot make me sick. You have no authority in the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, to make me sick. And so, if the demon don't leave, you keep doing that. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit, if you have got a door open, you know, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that'll tell you, and sometimes it's the devil that'll taunt you. Well, you went out and got drunk last night. I don't have to do nothing. You tell me. I saw you take those drugs. I don't have to do nothing. You tell me. See? He's not going to submit when you don't submit to God. See? I saw you mistreat your kids, talk to them like a dog. I don't have to do what you tell me. I saw you steal that on your job. I don't have to do what you tell me. He'll laugh in your face. He will mock you. Remember the story in the Bible about the guy that went to cast out the demons? And they said, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, leave." And the demon said to him, "Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And jumped on him and beat him up, stripped him naked, and he ran away. The devil will laugh in your face if you try to cast out a demon and you've got unforgiven sin in your life. See, that's why Jesus said, pray every day. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Every day we're supposed to pray for Jesus to forgive us for the sins that we commit today. Because the reason that we do that is it keeps us holy. See, when the blood of Jesus comes and washes that sin away, we're holy. We're pure. We're clean by the power of the blood. And when we're holy, we can cast out demons. We're not holy because we do everything right. We're holy because we ask forgiveness when we sin. We normally don't do everything right. I don't know about you, but I don't. There is not a day that I don't sin. I'm not bragging about it. It's just a fact. I have way too much flesh that's still alive in me. And you poke it and it pokes back. But I do know how to ask forgiveness. And I do have faith in the blood. That the minute I ask forgiveness, it's gone. And Jesus never remembers it again. Then I have power and authority to cast out demons because I'm submitted to Jesus. Therefore, they have to submit to me. Okay, let's read a few more of these binding and loosing scriptures. In Matthew 13, Jesus told a parable about this gardener that went out and planted his field in wheat. And wheat in the Bible is the symbol of life, abundant life that Jesus promises. And so when the wheat came up, it had tares with it. And tares are the symbol of death and evil. And so they went to him and they said, "How did this happen?" And the gardener said, "An enemy did this. During the night, an enemy came in and sowed tares in among your wheat." Well, see, this is what happens to you when you're a child. And Jesus Christ gives you your life and you're born here on this earth. The enemy comes and he puts fear in you. And he puts rejection in you. And he puts all these thoughts in you of self-hatred or hating other people, prejudiced. You know, all those evil things. And so then as you try to grow in the Lord, all of a sudden you look in your life and there's all this evil stuff along with the good stuff, you know. So what does Jesus do? He sends the angels to bind the tares. See, when you say, "Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus and cast you away from me," you don't actually do it. You realize that. Your part is to speak and believe the word. God's part is to do the supernatural. He sends down his angels and he can get rid of demons quick. See? But he can only do it if we speak the word and believe the word. He can only make supernatural things happen in our life if we believe the word and we speak the word and obey the word. See? So, in Matthew 22, Jesus was telling the parable about they got together for this wedding service and there was somebody there without a wedding garment on. So Jesus goes to him and he says, "How come you come here without a wedding garment?" And he wouldn't say anything to him. And so they said, bind him and cast him into outer darkness. See, things that are bound are going to hell. Demonic things that you bind, demons and all that. And see, what that is talking about is when a person comes in church and they're not really saved. They're masquerading as a Christian. They're a sheep in wolf's clothing. And they didn't come here to get saved. They came here to tear up the church of Jesus Christ. And the devil sends people like that into every church. That's why so many churches are torn up, you know. So we have to make sure we have on our wedding garment. What is our wedding garment? It is the robes of righteousness that are given to us when we are washed in the blood. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So see, keeping our sins forgiven, see, getting our sins washed in the blood gives us our wedding garment, see, so that we're not bound by the enemy. All right, in Matthew 23, the Pharisee, Jesus said, the Pharisees bind heavy burdens on people's shoulders, and they don't even lift one of them with their finger. See, the thing that is binding you, see, is what's trying to destroy you. Satan sends things to wrap you up into fear and anger and lust. And you know, when Jesus went to the Gadarenes and Legion was there, they said that he was so demon possessed. Now, he actually was demon possessed. They were in his spirit. See, they were not just oppressing and vexing him. He was literally demon possessed. And they said that he was so full of that they would put chains and everything on him. He just break the chains. Those demons couldn't even, I mean, those demons were so powerful. It couldn't even hold him. But see, they were not powerful enough to stop Jesus from binding them and casting them out of him. There's no demonic power stronger than Jesus. Nothing can stay in our life if we believe in Jesus and his word and his blood. There is nothing stronger than Jesus. Cancer is not stronger than Jesus. Divorce is not stronger than Jesus. Nothing is stronger than Jesus. Fear is not stronger than Jesus. And so when Jesus, and you know all Jesus had to say to that legion of demons? One word, go. Go. Now, if you've been around Pentecostal circles very long, you've probably seen people trying to cast out demons out of people, putting on the biggest show, going crazy and screaming and yelling and all that kind of stuff. Just and it still didn't work, you know. When you speak the word of God with the authority of God, that's all it takes. And you do it, you cast the demons out of yourself first. Don't try to cast a demon out of somebody else unless you're free. Don't tell other people to quit being angry when you're angry. Don't tell them to quit lusting when you're lusting. Don't tell people to not be depressed when you're depressed. First, you get it out of yourself. Then, you know, that's where Jesus said, get the two before out of your eye before you try to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye. You know. So we practice our demon kicking out on ourselves. If it works on us, it'll work on other people. If it don't work on us, it ain't going to work on nobody else. If we can't cast the spirit of anger out of us, we're not going to cast ourselves. If we can't cast sickness out of us, don't pray for somebody else to be healed. You know? It starts here. Okay, that's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus, it's never recorded that he was sick or angry, or unrighteous anger. He had righteous anger, which it doesn't sin. He was never depressed. He was never, he didn't abuse anybody. Because see, all those spirits tried to come on him. Because the Bible says that he's been tempted with everything we're tempted with, yet without sin. He did not give in to the temptation and sin, and then he turned around and cast that demon out. That's why he could cast out any demon that came up against him. So if you want to be good at demon casting out, we have the perfect place to learn. We are a mission field to learn to cast out demons. See? You catch yourself gossiping about somebody, slap yourself in the mouth. And say, you demon, you get out of my mouth. See, slandering is the word for demon in Greek. Speak evil about it. See, there's only two commandments Jesus gave us. Love God with all your heart and people. Everything else falls under that. It's easy to love God because he's perfect. It is not easy to love people. Even the best of us are hard to love. So, when we can fulfill those two commandments, then we are well on our way to casting out demons. Okay, a few more scriptures and then we'll go. because this is the last time I'm going to talk about this. We're going to go to the second supernatural sign next time I'm here. I don't know where that'll be. All right, in Luke 13, Jesus said they were criticizing him because he had healed a woman on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? See, they were so religious, they didn't care if that woman was sick. They were mad because Jesus healed her on Sunday. That is a demonic, religious spirit. And you've got to watch those religious demons. They're the meanest. Christians can be the meanest people on the face of the earth. And the most judgmental and the most critical. And preachers are the worst of the worst. And so, when you're around a person that calls themselves a Christian and you don't feel loved, run. It's a religious spirit. Because the Spirit of Jesus always makes you feel loved. Even if he's correcting us. He told Peter one time, he said, get behind me, Satan. But Peter knew he was loved. Because he said, you don't care about the things of God, but the things of man. And that is a good word to all of us. When we care more about what man thinks than we care about what God thinks, then we're operating in Satan's kingdom. See? And so, the way you know a real Christian, Jesus says, how much they love you. And these old Pharisees didn't love nobody. Okay, and in Mark 7, it says, when they brought one to Jesus that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they besought him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he said, Ephrathah, which is be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. So see, he bound that demonic spirit and loosed that boy that couldn't speak. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, the word of God cannot be bound. The devil has no power against the word of God, and he has no power against us when we are speaking and believing, obeying the word of God. It is our safety place to read it and believe it and obey it and speak it, and we're safe. We're safe from Satan's power. When we do that, I don't mean Satan won't ever come after us. He'll come after us a lot, but he just can't win. And we don't care if he comes after us, because when we win, we get the spoil. Remember the scripture he said about when you bind the strong man, you get to spoil his house? What is Satan's house? Hell. So we can snatch all the loved ones we want out of hell when we win the battle. See? And we can take all the money we want out of hell, because who has the most money in the world? Drug pushers? You know, big rich companies that will kill people in a heartbeat to make more money. We take all the money we want out of Satan's kingdom when we win the battle. In John 10, Jesus said, we're not going, the people said, we're not stoning you because you've done something good, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. And he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came. And the scripture cannot be broken. And that word broken there is the word loosed. Nothing the devil can do will bind the word of God. It will work every time you obey it and speak it in faith. Every time. The Bible says, God said, my word that I sent out never returns void, but it accomplishes what I sent it to do. Acts 7 said, God raised up Jesus, loosing him from the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The pains of death could not hold Jesus. Why? Because the devil had no authority. The reason that Jesus died was not because he sinned. He died for our sins, because the wages of sin is death. So when he died for our sins, he couldn't even stay dead. See? Because Jesus cannot be bound, and the word cannot be bound. All right, one more scripture I want to give you. He that commits sin is of the devil. In other words, when we're sinning, we're not obeying Jesus. We're obeying the devil when we sin. For the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy there is the word bind. Same word bind where it says when you bind the strong man. So Jesus came to bind all the evil works of the enemy. And see, he now all we have to do, to stop the enemy and win the battle and cast out the demons that are vexing us is to speak the word of Jesus, believe the word of Jesus, obey the word of Jesus, and the devil has to leave. He has to leave. He has to. So if we're going around depressed and fearful and sick all the time and poor all the time and mad all the time and abusive and fussing and fighting, it's our fault. Really not even the devil's fault. Because we have authority and power over Satan. And we're just too lazy to take it and use it. See? Because Jesus intended for his church, everywhere they went, first when we get saved, we learn to cast the demon away from us. And then everywhere we go, people know that they can come to us and we will pray for them. And God will heal them. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. People will know us by our supernatural works. Is that how people know you? By your supernatural powers. That you're going to love them no matter what they do to you. You're not going to run around and be buddy buddies with them. But you're not ever going to be evil and return evil to evil when they are mean and evil to you. See, it is God's will for his church to be known by our supernatural flow of God that flows through us to the world. That's the only reason we're still here. Instead of went on to heaven, we got saved. It's because there's a lost world that needs us. Just like the lost world needed Jesus, and he came and he fulfilled his Father's commission and went back. He left us here. He said in John 17, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm leaving these here. And they'll do the works that I've done, only more of them, because we'll be here a whole lot longer. We'll do a lot more works than Jesus did because he was only here 3.5 years doing works. We got a lifetime. We won't do anything he didn't do. We'll do what he did. We'll just do it longer because we're going to be here longer. So see, that's what the world is looking for, is supernatural help. They're looking for somebody that when they go to the doctor and the doctor says, you're in cancer stage 4, there's no help. What is their first thought going to be? I remember so-and-so that had cancer and God healed them. I'm going to go and get them to pray for me. Or they knew you before you got saved and you were the meanest, dirtiest, low-downest junkyard dog there was. And you got saved and now you are the sweetest, kindest, gentlest person. And they decide they don't want that life no more. Who are they going to go to? My family, when I was not saved, I was the meanest person you would ever want to meet. And when I'm with my sisters and we are around and we meet new people, they'll say, this is the funny one, and this is the smart one, and this is the mean one. They always introduce me as the mean one. Always. Everywhere we go. I'm the mean one. Because see, they remember me from my childhood. But I'm telling you, every time one of them gets in a need, who do they call? The mean one. Because they know I'm not that person anymore. And when they need a miracle, they call me to pray for them. Because they know that there's been such a change. And that only God can do that. I don't care how much we want to change ourselves. We can't change nothing. We can't change nothing. But God can change everything. And he wants that power to flow through us all the time. And I want that power to flow through me. How many of you want to walk in supernatural power? These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out demons. And now, I've been on this for 4 weeks, so I'm hoping that some of you are starting to put this into practice. Praise God. That when you start feeling a little bit sick, you don't say, oh no, I'm getting a cold. You start saying, devil, you don't have the authority or the power to hurt me. You don't have the power to come on me. You don't have the authority to make me sick. If I've opened the door anywhere, I ask Jesus to forgive me quick. And you keep on resisting until that sickness leaves. Quick. You keep resisting and you keep resisting. You don't make up your mind, oh, this is going to be a year-long battle. You make up your mind, I'm going to do this 1,000 times a day until this demon leaves. Or somebody does something on your job that just makes you see red, you're so mad. And you know, anger is such an evil demon. When you get angry, it takes you completely over. You are powerless. You will say things you'll never say. You would do things you'll never do. Oh, man, it took me years to get free from that because I didn't know how to cast out demons. I was a rageaholic for years. Oh, I'm telling you, it feels so much better to be free. So much better to be free. And so when that anger comes up, I can remember the day I started saying, that don't make me mad anymore. And the power that was released in me to not be mad. It was just unbelievable. It was like throwing water on a raging fire. And all I'd have to say out of my mouth was, that don't make me mad anymore. It was unbelievable how good it felt to say that. And that rage not flare up in me. Oh, I'm telling you, God is so good. If you're addicted to any kind of sexual sin, pornography, anything like that, you know, you cast that thing out. And you say, I don't want to look at that stuff anymore. I don't enjoy that anymore. I hate it. The Bible says if you hate sin and you love Jesus, He will anoint you with oil of joy above all your brethren. You have to say out of your mouth, I hate that. I hate R-rated movies. I hate pornography. I hate it. I love holiness and righteousness. I love Jesus. And see, when you spend, and then you say, you demon of lust, I command you, you have to leave me. You know, one of the things they do in the homosexual world, they tell people that they can't ever be free from homosexuality. They can quit practicing it, but they'll never really be free. What a lie. What a lie. You know where that lie came from. See? You just say, you cast that thing out of you. I was not born this way. I don't think this way. I was born to be just like Jesus. And I promise you, Jesus wasn't gay. I was born to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus. And you speak it and you resist that spirit enough and it'll leave. And think of all the people you can help that are sucked into that lie, that think there is no help. You know, Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the supernatural power that came into us when Jesus came into us. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave everything because you loved us so much. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your very life, for giving us your holy blood, for giving us your power, your wisdom, your strength, your nature, your glory. Thank you. And Jesus, help us to walk worthy of what you called us to be and do. And Lord, give us the ability to go to you daily and cast these demons out that have been oppressing us and vexing us since childhood. And then, Lord, as we're free, help us to help other people get free, because that's why we're here on this earth, to glorify you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you.